Monday, everybody, and welcome back to the Couchside Judges. I'm Scott Fontana. Follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
And I'm Dan Urban. Follow me at The Dan Urban. Follow the podcast at Couchside Judges. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple, Spotify.
Not Apple. Don't do it on Apple.
Everywhere.
All right, do it on Apple.
And make sure you read the scoring criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful.
Sometimes. Except for, you know, well, no, that's not true. It's helpful all the time, especially on this show.
It seemed like Tom Cruise was trying to compliment the judges while insulting them.
I don't know that commentary. He knows another way to compliment anyone.
It was like, yeah, he's like, they come from boxing, so every time it's a stand-up round, I'm pretty sure they're going to nail it.
I think
and
he
I'm
was
like, come on, guy.
I don't think he was actually saying the judges come from boxing. I think what he was saying was the scoring system comes from boxing.
And that's what he said. He said these guys are used to that. That's yes. What followed it.
That is true.
So
I don't know. Who knows what he means or says or whatever. He seems like he was trying to be more fun this week, too.
He was trying to be fun. He even told Gooden said something. He made an observation. And he's like, what makes you say that? And Gooden was like, I don't know. It just looks that way. He's like, oh, good analysis, John.
Mm-hmm. That's the Dominic Cruise experience. Bit of a weird week, actually. Not just because it's the warehouse where fights happen. But in other non-commentator developments, Joe Martinez.
Yeah.
Mid-event. Has to dip out for a bit. He's having trouble with his voice. And all of a sudden, Charlie Arnold is coming over from being the quote-unquote sideline reporter or whatever you'd call it. I don't know what her particular role is on the broadcast, but that's more or less what I equate it to. Steps in as the Octagon announcer. Mm. She did, I believe, a full fight, start and finish, and also the official decision for Karina Silva's victory over Ariane Da Silva.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think she did?
She did fine. I mean, it was good to see Joe was able to come back, unlike Lillian Garcia, after her voice gave out.
We never heard from her again. I hope you're well, Lillian Garcia.
Although Sean Sheehan shared a funny meme.
Hmm.
There must when they both worked at WWE, there was a picture of Lillian and Charlie like in the backstage.
Oh, interesting.
And it was Lillian saying, "I'm gonna MC PFL. You go do UFC," is what the caption was.
I see.
And I had a chuckle.
That's good. I'm glad you got a chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you chuckle. But yeah, I thought she, honestly, considering that she literally has never done this and did not show up to work that day thinking she was going to do this and probably didn't know she was going to do that 10 minutes before she did it, I thought she did a really good job.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely did better than whoever PFL's guy is now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They should just, like, replace him. Mm. It doesn't have to be with Charlie Arnold. It could be, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people who are out of work right now who could just use a little bit of extra cash. Yeah, not impressed.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I would agree. But as far as the actual in-cage developments here, Alex Perez goes out there, finally gets the win he's been trying to get. Hadn't won a fight in 4 years almost.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. To think that not only had it been that long since he won a fight, but also that he still remained in the top 10.
Well, I think he showed he deserves to be in the top 10.
Absolutely. So. But just saying, maybe if you haven't won in 3 years, the ranking should have dipped before that.
I guess. I mean, he lost to the top.
Yeah.
Of the division.
That's okay.
So, I don't know.
I don't think you could just sit on that ranking for several years, then.
Why not?
It's not like he was super established before that. He beat Jussie Formiga, which jumped him into the rankings. And then it's just, he stayed there forever, even with losses. Doesn't make sense.
Was there someone that should have jumped him?
Probably most of the people behind him.
You think Suma Derji should jump him?
Not right there.
David Dvorak?
Dvorak?
Yeah.
No. But maybe the...
Matt Schnell, you think Matt Schnell should be ahead of him?
How about the flyweight challenger this coming week?
He's coming out of nowhere, basically. He just bursted onto the scene.
Sure.
So he's not going to pass him.
He's also 3-0 in the UFC the last 4 years.
What are you going to do?
Skip him. That's what I said.
He obviously did get skipped. This is a perfect example of how the rankings mean nothing. The number 10 guy is getting a shot.
You did hit the nail on the head, though. These rankings are useless. So it really isn't a whole lot of hand-wringing to be done. Thank you. You reminded me of that.
And they can, and coming this week, they may just change it and be like, you know what, Steve Ursig, number two. Like the week before the fight, they just change it.
I don't think the people pay enough attention to make that happen. The voters collectively are not very good or active.
Their
or
hands are held when they get it. They're told with a win, they should jump up this much.
That's not entirely true. I mean, I was a part of this panel for a while. It's been 7 years now since I left. But what they used to send out was the PDF that would indicate, yes, here's recommendations you might want to consider. So
if you know what's good for you.
No. That's how I feel it is. See, look, here's the thing. They send that to me and I look at it and I say, oh, that's nice. And then I do what I want. And then nothing bad ever happened to me. I left on my own volition. If they send that to you, Dan, are you going to say, okay, I'll do what you want, or be like, no, I do what I want?
I'm going to probably not even open it.
Well, there might be that too. And depending on how active these people are, maybe they're not actually reading it either.
I don't know. You used to be able to see who was on the panel. Now I don't think you can anymore.
I believe they've took that away, but I think there's still ways to find out. I think it's out there somewhere.
No, but I mean, you used to be able to select who's what. Oh, yeah. You used to be able to see their rank.
Well, I know that because for whatever reason, my outlet was I was with AM New York at the time, and they were pretty high up in the alphabet. So when I say whatever reason, I mean alphabetical. That's the reason. my name happened to be pretty high up. Mm. People used to be able to look at my rankings and pick them apart, and people would trash me for it once in a while.
Either way, they mean nothing.
I actually got called out a long while back by Kaposa for my rankings. This is before I knew who he was.
Mm.
And since then, we've become very friendly. Not something where we became mortal enemies just because he called me out on the way I did my rankings that particular time.
All
right. Mm-hmm. But the real thing I wanted to bring up for Perez, not so much the rankings themselves, but where does this knockout of Mateus Nicolau, good knockout, where does it put him in the title picture? Because again, we are talking about someone who did lose three fights in a row. He's certainly behind
Steve Ursig. Brandon Royval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where do you put him? Do you think he's just right there? Like he's in the mix, like one more fight and he can get for the title? What do you think?
It depends. I would say if he knocks someone out in the top five, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's right. Depends.
Depends.
If you're having trouble with bowel movements, I don't know. It depends.
I don't know if Brandon Royval was injured or not. Was he injured?
I don't believe he was injured, no.
So it's just Pantoja picking and choosing who he wants to defend against, I guess?
I believe the thinking was that he's already 2-0 against both of the top Brandons in the UFC flyweight division. And there was no need to make the third fight so quickly after the last one when he's already 2-0 against him.
Yeah, sounds silly to me.
Doesn't sound so silly to me.
Well, I mean, it sounds silly to give the 10th ranked guy.
I think it should have been Muhammad Mukhaev.
Okay.
They've been building him up for a little while. It made a lot of sense to put him in there, and they decided to go to Ursig, which I think one more win for Ursig, okay, probably there. But yeah, it felt a little rushed or a little like, well, we need somebody and no one else is really available because Amir Albazi's hurt, because Kai Kara-France is coming off injury, because he's beaten 2-0 against Brandon Moreno and Brandon Royval.
Feels more like Pantoja pushing for not those two.
I don't think that's how it happened. I think the UFC offered him and he said, okay.
After saying no to the other two.
What makes you say that?
Because he was doing that stupid hand motion he does, like 5-0 or 3-0 or 4-0, whatever his, when he was cage side. Like, I'm not fighting these guys. He wanted someone fresh.
But they're not going to do the trilogy fight against someone he's already beaten two times in 4 years.
Who cares? That's the fight. That's the guy who earned it.
I disagree.
Well, thank God you're not a matchmaker.
Well, neither are you.
I mean, and Steve Ursig could win. I mean, I kind of rooting for him.
he really could win. He absolutely
could.
But
it feels like this was a pick and choose by Pantoja.
I don't think so.
I don't care what you think. This is what it feels like.
All right. Well, I disagree.
I'm not letting you. We're not agreeing to disagree. We'll stay in this all day.
Okay. Let's make a terrible episode where we just stand on one side of the fence and you stand the other side of the fence.
Giving too much respect to Pantoja. He pick and choose on this one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Whatever. Bogdan Guskov. Let's answer this question. Is he actually Anthony Smith?
He's fun Anthony Smith.
Fun Anthony Smith. Okay. Yeah,
Anthony Smith is not fun.
Here's the thing about Bogdan Guskov. Is
outside of the cage.
Most of the things that I heard him say, especially after the fight when they were talking to him in the back and everything, he's just kind of ripping everybody else's style. He was kind of borrowing a bunch of old Khabib sound bites and using them as himself and everything like that. It's like he's not himself. He's just copies of everybody else.
I like it.
He's even a copy of Anthony Smith.
I like it. He could have chose a better skin, but if that's the one he downloaded, I guess.
That's good. I like that. Evidently, they actually did train together once. There's actual like footage of this. So in theory, they're not the same person. But I mean, look, we're aware that there are deepfakes out there.
Mm.
I think I sent you a deepfake involving Dana White the other day, which obviously was very fake, but I was like, what is going on here? I don't know if you watched it.
AI is scary.
We don't need to repeat what was what that involved. Not very polite, not very true either. So yeah, I don't really have any other things that I really want to talk about off of this event.
It's over.
And we move on to the unanimity report. Man, I'm on a roll. Ever since you put it out there, I got it. I nailed it.
Nailed it every time.
With an assist from my friend here, Dan. We are going over just 6 rounds, which means there was 19 out of 25 unanimous. 76%, and half of those, 3 in total, were 9-8 splits. Most of the time, they got the winner right.
They did a good job.
Just had to. I thought they had a solid job here. We are going to start off with the lone split decision of the night, and that was the curtain jerker, Mahashate, getting the win over Gabriel Benitez, 29-28 all around. Mahashate had 2 of those. But round 2 is our split round. Let's go over the swing.
They threw down.
They did.
This was probably the best round of the entire card.
Yeah.
They were just
There was that heavyweight fight, actually. Never mind, I lied. It's a heavyweight fight. Go on.
I was going to see if we should drug test you. They were just slamming their fists and shins into each other. I think it's really close. Benitez kicks were really strong. Mahashate punches were really strong. I think they're a bit stronger, really close. I think Mahashate was better as the round went on. So I'm giving it to him. He had that nice flurry at the end also. So, 10-9 Mahashate.
I went 10-9 Benitez, but yeah, absolutely super close. I feel like this just comes down to one or two strikes, no matter how you feel, unless you're very biased one way or the other. So, what are you going to do? You kind of just accept the fact that this is a close round.
Very close.
And you move forward. And essentially means, yeah, a close fight in that sense. So, yeah, I sided with Eric Colon, who was on his own among the judges. You sided with the majority, Brian Miner and Tony Weeks. Seeing it from Mahashate. You should call him One Bad Mahashate. That'd be a good nickname.
One Bad Mahashate?
Thinking One Bad Mother Shut.
Oh, all right.
It's 3:30 in the morning.
All right.
You want to leave me alone?
No.
All right, fine. let's go on to our next fight here. And usually I try to order them in some form of way, but this time we're going with chronological because that's what we ended up with. Meaning the next fight, Ivana Petrovic getting the win over Liang Na. Third round submission, rear naked choke. Round 2, though, was split not on who won, but to what degree Petrovic put a whooping on Liang.
Yeah, this is on the feet. It was there for a while, too. And I thought Liang was winning and winning pretty clearly on the feet. Once it hits the ground, Petrovic lands some intermittent elbows, punches, nothing big. She does get to the mount late in the round, about 30 seconds left, and she lands some good shots here. Don't think she quite did enough to cross over to the 8. Had she mounted earlier, started waffling her sooner, I'd be on it. I mean, I still got no problem with it, but I prefer the 9.
Yeah, it comes down to how much you can swing in that, you know, that last flourish there, right? Based on, I don't even know that. I mean, the starting point is there, but I think Petrovic just had her in a real bad way at the end of that round. It was not looking good. It was not looking pretty. And so I ended up giving the 8 in this case. But yeah, I think it's totally defensible to not, because yeah, there was certainly success from Liang in the early part of the round on the feet. So I'm in the majority in this case, though, giving the 8 alongside Adelaide Burt and Chris Lee. You saw it with Mike Bell, that notorious 9s only guy. Actually, lately it's getting to be kind of true. Not entirely. Obviously, we're joking here. But yeah, Interesting to see now he's been more likely to be the nine of late. I wonder what that comes down to. Because historically speaking, over several years, this is not the case. There's a clear uptick.
Mm.
Go figure. Let's go on to the next fight here. This one we actually have two rounds for. Victor Henry getting the win over Rani Yahya. Round three, TKO. Got a nice head kick and punches. Finish him off. Both of these rounds, one and two, are split, but for different reasons. So let's start with one, where we're trying to figure out who won the round.
Yeah, it was quite close. Early Yahya's landed some good shots. He's jumping in, landing kicks, punches. Nice kicks,
yeah.
Henry really isn't landing much. Seems like he's thrown off a bit by Yahya. You know, he doesn't know if he's going for a takedown, whatever. But there's one point he lands a solid left hand, and that kind of like stops Yahya in his tracks for a second. But the rest of his offense was just some pitter-patter against the cage when they were clinched. As the round ends, they have a nice exchange. Both of them landed, but I think Yahya got the better of it. And on the whole, I score for Yahya 10-9.
Yeah, me too. I like that last little bit that just kind of kept it on his side. Because I did have Yahya up. I liked those kicks early, like you mentioned. But it's close. It's close enough. It's always hard to see how much power is actually coming off of Yahya, because he is really not a puncher. Mm. So it's like, how do you evaluate that, you know?
By the effect it has.
But how do we know how much of, I mean, you know, we've talked to officials before that can kind of say, you know, hey, look, heavyweights hit different than strawweights, you know? These are 135-pounders, and Yahya is one of the lighter hitters at 135 pounds, too, historically speaking.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have trouble deciphering the strength of his shots.
Sure.
In this round.
Like I said, I ended up on the same page as you, but it's interesting. I think it's an interesting question. But yeah, so we're in the majority. We saw it just as Sal D'Amato and Chris Lee did. It was Junichiro Kamijo saw this one for Henry, which, hey, fine. Not a big deal. Round two. Now we're talking about just how much Henry got this round.
I mean, well, Yahya did land some punches early in the round, but as the round goes on, it's just Henry outclassing him on the feet. Just over, not, I don't want to say overwhelming, but dominating him on the feet. He's landing punches at will, doubling up on him. Hurts him at the end of the round to put the damage over. I think we definitely have damage and dominance, so I'm going 10-8.
I also gave the 8 here. I think we can get there, and I feel good about it. I'm okay with that. Mm. This time, we are in agreement with Judges D'Amato and Kamijo, whereas Chris Lee settled for the 9.
Mm.
Not so bad. Not so bad. Moving on to our... Oh, yeah, this was the round I was talking about. This is a great round. Janata Denis getting the win over Austin Lane. Round 2 knockout. Gets the finish, because those heavyweights do hit harder than strawweights. They do. But the first round... It was actually Austin Lane who was potential 8 here. So let's break this down. Why are we talking about
it? Well, real quick, you were almost right. This was almost a great round. Had Austin Lane mounted that Swiss cheese guard of Denis, I mean, I don't know, 3 minutes earlier.
Yeah, several minutes earlier. Could change the whole thing.
And just, you know, ended it for us. But no, he just stayed in half guard. Anyway, Lane gets a quick takedown about 45 seconds in. DC lets us know it wouldn't have spent a single minute on the feet if he was fighting Denis.
Good to know. Thanks, DC.
Lane lands some punches, but like I said, he never passes guard. He just chills there in half guard. He's staying busy with these shots. He's never really opening up. And then it's 15 seconds left. He decides to mount, and he lands some big shots. On the other hand, Denis didn't really do anything. So I can understand an 8 for sure. I like the 9, though. I need more damage and even more dominance to get there.
Yeah, Denis does not earn his 9, but also I don't know that Lane earned his 8 until, you know, even getting close in that final flourish, right, with Throat the Mountain starting to land somebody. Almost nothing the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how badly Denis really looked to be hurt in that situation. It was a rough spot, but I don't know how effective it ended up being from that. So because I didn't quite evaluate it as well, I stuck with a 9 too, just like you. So we are on the same page, giving a 9 to Lane, with judges Chris Lee and Tony Weeks. Junichiro Kamijo was on his own, giving this one an 8. I get it. And hey, maybe he sees something we don't, but also, nah, I think really you need to have Lane be doing more to get his 8.
Mm.
Last one here. Karine Silva getting the win over Ariane Da Silva, formerly known as Ariane Lipsky. Unanimous nod, 29-28, two times, 30-27 on one of the cards. Round three is the only round that we are split on here. So by this point, we already have Silva up two rounds to none. And for clarity's sake, Dan, if you feel like it, you can call Ariane Da Silva Lipsky, just so we not have Silva and Da Silva.
I'm going to be confusing.
Good. let's just confuse everything.
On the feet, I think it's pretty clear for Lipsky or Da Silva.
Mm-hmm.
She lands the better shots on the feet. Her clinch knees are far and away better. Logan Storley can learn a thing. Silva has some success, but not to the degree that Lipsky had, especially early in the round. You know, she got stung pretty good. That wobbled her. It looked like we didn't have the greatest camera angle as Lipsky's back was to us as she was attacking forward.
That's always the trickiest one, and it
does happen. But it did appear to me that Silva stumbled back into the cage. I thought that was a pretty good shot. The round gets a little hairy because Silva gets the back with the body triangle late in the round, but she does absolutely nothing with it. Nothing enough to push it over for me anyway. So I'm 10-9 Da Silva or Lipsky.
I went the same way. Agreed with judges Mike Bell and Sal D'Amato. I don't really have a whole lot more to add to that. Other than to note that Adelaide Bird was the out judge who gave all three rounds to Silva. But, you know, there's something there.
Mm.
You know, it's not crazy. And that is it for our contested rounds. There were seven finishes on this card, though. Five ended by KO or TKO, two submissions, and two fights ended in round one. Of those seven, what was your favorite?
Chris Padilla got long top of James's back.
Ah, I see what you did there. I like that.
And he took the choke and said,
which is great because he missed over. Weight.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I was a fighter, I would root for my opponent to miss weight every single time. I don't understand why the opponent gets upset when their opponent misses weight.
Well, because they miss weight too. They had to make weight and it sucked.
You get more money.
Yeah, well, you can be happy about it too. But also be mad at certain parts.
Well, that doesn't work. You can't be mad and happy at the same time. How can you be mad and happy at the same time?
I don't know. It happens.
I would be ecstatic. I'd be cheering for them to miss weight. Like every single time. I'd be so happy.
I'm now picturing the Tony Soprano meme of cheering from that one episode. And that's you.
Okay.
You're Tony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you got?
I went with Perez, actually. I just...
Yeah, that was a good
one. It was a good finish. It really was. Nice second round knockout there. And again, like I said, it's been almost 4 years. He had to pull out a lot of fights, or had a lot of fights canceled for, you know, a lot of reasons involving him too. So really nice to see him get back on the horse. No matter where he's ranked, good win. Curious to see what he does next.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it for UFC Vegas 91, one of the most memorable shows of our lifetime. I'll be telling our children about. Let's go to 301, UFC 301.
301, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one's more interesting, kind of by default. But also, you know, there's some fights here. Alexandre Pantoja, like we mentioned, fighting Steve Ercig. I think we've already exhausted that conversation to a degree. You're obviously not a big fan of the way Pantoja has set that up, and you're rooting
exactly.
for
Steve Ercig. Exactly, see, you just said how he set it up. Exactly, see?
Anyway, it is in Brazil. We will have probably a good mix of North American, North American judges, plus some of the officials that tend to work in Brazil. I think there used to be that bias that people would talk about with Brazilian judges. If there was, I haven't seen it manifest in recent years.
I don't
think it's the same, even perceived the same way as it used to be, or it shouldn't be, but who knows? Those things tend to die slowly, perceptions and all. I think everybody, of course, is pretty interested in what Jose Aldo brings to the table now. He wasn't retired all that long, realistically.
How long was he out?
He retired in September 2022.
I just need a little reset.
Like a month or so after losing to Marab.
Yeah, just a little reset.
Yeah. But he thought he was retired. I talked to him last week, and like he legitimately, like even during his retirement ceremony, or not his retirement, his Hall of Fame ceremony, like, he thought he was done. He really did. And then kind of opportunity came about, and here we are. Apparently, he was supposed to, originally offered to, or trying to angle to fight Dominic Cruz, but it didn't work out for one reason or another.
Mm,
so now he gets Jonathan Martinez.
I like it.
I like it. It'll be a good fight. I think so. Curious to see what Jose Aldo, who had not been training MMA last year, looks like coming back to the sport or training it at this age. He's 37. He's not super aged, but also 37 is pretty old for a lighter weight fighter.
I heard he's going to kick again.
Is that right?
I heard.
Who said that?
I made it up.
Did you say it?
Okay. I said it, yes.
Okay. You heard yourself say that. Yep. Got it. Martinez is a nice fighter, though. I'm very curious to see if he gets through this fight, too. Because realistically, like, you know, a fighter coming back off of, you know, being retired and that kind of thing, you might write it off. But, again, Aldo has not been out that long.
Yeah, he's not out really that long at all.
Mm-hmm. Any other fights you were looking forward to?
No, not really.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I'm interested in Michel Pereira.
Well, he's always fun.
He's always fun, exactly. I don't know why he's fighting Ihor Poteria other than, hey, what if we put together a 170-pound guy with a 205-pound guy at 185 pounds? Let's see what happens.
I got to keep it interesting for yourself.
I guess. I think at this point, Pereira should be riding or fighting much higher up. I think he needs a better opponent.
Okay.
I want to see him really challenged at middleweight, and I don't really love this matchup. It just seems like a waste. But who knows? Maybe he goes out there and Poteria beats him and does his stupid duelist thing that he always does.
His what?
Isn't he the one who does the dueling thing? He like pretends he's like shooting somebody like in a duel. Didn't he do that
to
Shogun? Am I thinking of the right guy? You're making me doubt myself.
I got no clue.
I thought I was thinking of it. Yeah. I'll have to look it up in a sec. I also like Paul Craig.
Yeah.
He's always fun. Threat for a triangle. You gotta that.
I like
it. He's a sub guy.
Paul Craig, right? Yeah.
Sub-minded guy. Kyle Bahalio. This is an interesting matchup, I think, at the lower end of 185 pounds. The ranking spectrum, I guess. I don't know if either one of them is ranked, but they're close. I'm sure they're part of that email. I also highlighted this one. Elvis Brenner, who, if I recall, is the unofficial super lightweight champion of the UFC.
Okay.
Right?
He won the 165 belt?
I believe so. I think he won the most recent one of those. Going against Miktibek Orelbay, who I thought looked really good in his UFC debut. Mm-hmm. So I'm very interested in this fight. I think this is a sleeper for fight of the night, truth be told.
Yeah. I think Brito and Jack Shore.
Okay.
Probably fight of the night.
Joe Anderson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that fight too. But yeah, I'll stick with Brenner and Orelbay. Brenner always brings it, dude. No one sleeps on him anymore.
That'd be good.
And I put down for contested rounds candidate Maurizio Ruffy and Jamie Mullarkey.
It'd be pretty cool if his name is Huffy. It's pronounced Huffy, and he rides a Huffy bike down, like a BMX bike.
My son has a Huffy.
Down to the ring. That's what I would do.
It's a cage. Octagon.
Cage, octagon, ring. It's all interchangeable.
No, disagree.
Oh, it's interchangeable.
We are never, ever getting
along. Okay.
All right.
Well, you heard it. We're done.
That's it. The end of the show. We'll never do it again.
But if we happen to do it again, we'll be back on Monday for this event. Break down all the rounds, unless you guys, you know, want to go perfect.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't mind that.
Let's see it happen.
Thanks for listening.
Take care, y'all. We'll be right back.